From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
VOI listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, diplomacy corner, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo received visit of Timor-Leste Prime Minister Taur Matan Ruak at Bogor Palace. Indonesian SAR team in Turkey to help 7.8 magnitude quake victims. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the Indonesian President Joko Widodo received the official visit of Prime Minister of the Democratic Republic of Timor-Leste, Taur Matan Ruak, at the Bogor Presidential Palace in West Java on Monday. Prime Minister Ruak arrived at the palace at 9:55 a.m. local time, accompanied by cavalry. Minister of State Secretary Pratikno, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, Minister of Investment Bahlil Lahadalia, Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang, and Minister of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology Nadiem Makarim welcomed Prime Minister Ruak at the palace. President Joko Widodo had earlier received the state visit of President of the Democratic Republic of Timor-Leste, Jose Manuel Ramos Horta, at the Bogor Presidential Palace in July 2022. At the meeting, President Joko Widodo encouraged the two countries to complete their bilateral investment treaty immediately. He also stated that the value of Indonesia's investment in Timor-Leste had reached $818 million in the banking, oil and gas, as well as telecommunications sectors. The Indonesian search and rescue INASAR team arrived in Adana, Turkey on Sunday at 9:50 a.m. local time to assist in the evacuation of earthquake victims still trapped in the ruins. After receiving instructions from Indonesian Ambassador to Turkey, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, at Aksoy Hotel in Adana, the team left for Hatay. The National Search and Rescue Agency's Basarnas spokesperson, Anjar Sulistiono, noted in a statement received on Sunday. Sulistiono also remarked that the INASAR team, comprising 47 personnel of Basarnas, departed from Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport, Jakarta, on Saturday. On the occasion, the Indonesian government also sent the first batch of humanitarian assistance for the quake victims in Turkey, including 5 tons of logistical aid, such as food, footwear, raincoats, and blankets. The Indonesian Education, Culture, Research, and Technology Ministry's Character Strengthening Center, Puspeka, has launched an intersectoral collaboration with several related ministries and government agencies, as well as UNICEF, to support Character Strengthening Program. This was stated by the ministry's Secretary General Suharti in a statement on Saturday. This collaboration is undertaken along with 17 ministries and government agencies, National Commissions on Violence Against Women, National Commissions on Disabilities, Indonesian Child Protections Commission, and United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, UNICEF. The programs related to the intersectoral collaboration include strengthening character through the Pancasila Students Profile, PPP, and eradicating bullying, sexual violence, and intolerance, she said. It also involves an effort to build the spirits of unity in diversity, inclusivity, and equality in education, family, and community, which become parts of the education ecosystem. Let's move on to the international news, where the U.S. military fighter jets on Sunday shut down an octagonal object over Lake Huron. The Pentagon said the latest such incident since a suspected Chinese surveillance balloon put North American security forces on high alert. It was the fourth flying object to be shot down over North America by U.S. missiles in a little more than a week. U.S. Air Force General Glenn Fenherk, who is tasked with safeguarding U.S. airspace, told reporters that the military has not been able to identify what the three most recent objects are, how they stay aloft, or where they are coming from. He will let the intel community and the counterintelligence community figure that out. Russia supplied India with around $13 billion of arms during the past 5 years, and New Delhi has orders placed with Moscow for weapons and military equipment exceeding $10 billion. Russian state news agencies reported late on Sunday, India is the world's biggest buyer of Russian arms, accounting for around 20% of Moscow's current order book, and New Delhi has not explicitly condemned Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi has called for dialogue and diplomacy to solve the conflict now in its 12 months. Scores of Western countries imposed sanctions on Russia, including on arms, in response to the invasion, which Moscow calls a special military operations. India, China, and some Southeast Asian countries have maintained their interest in buying Russian arms. According to Dmitry Shugayev, the head of Russia's Federal Service for Military Technical Cooperation, the agency reported. President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. said on Sunday he saw no reason why the Philippines should not have a visiting forces agreement or VFA with Japan if it would boost maritime security and ensure greater protections for Filipino fishermen. Marcos, however, also told reporters he would exercise care in pursuing a potential spat with Tokyo. Marcos' first visit to Japan since taking office came after he recently granted the United States access to additional military bases in the Philippines under VFA, a move which China said undermined regional stability and raised tensions. The VFA provides rules for the rotations of thousands of U.S. troops in and out of the Philippines for exercise. As global inventors look for ways to profit from China's reopening from pandemic controls, the beaten down shares of Hong Kong's property firms and real estate funds have become popular vehicle for riding an expected economic recovery. While China's dropping off its stringent zero COVID policy late in 2022 has lifted travel and tourism stocks across Asia. Investor says Hong Kong's property sector has special appeal as the mainland and local economies improve, tourists return to the city, and sometimes this year, U.S. interest rates peak. Investors see value in property companies regardless of whether their assets are in mainland China or Hong Kong, which reopen at about the same time. Listener, now let's move on to a commentary on airlines revive after COVID-19. One of the sectors hit badly by COVID-19 was commercial airlines. Lockdown in some big countries resulted in the total downfall of commercial airlines amid the COVID-19. People could not really travel abroad without the proof of vaccination, swab tests, and other regulations. In short, nobody takes flights. Some airports, including the Soekarno-Hatta airports in Indonesia to Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, were empty. Some facilities, from restaurants to stores, were closed. Airports looked abandoned. However, gradually the restrictions were relieved starting in 2022. People fly again. Even some places were overcrowded, such as in Schiphol Amsterdam. Compared to 2021, the passengers at Schiphol Airport was 25.5 million and doubled to 52.5 million in 2022. This caused chaos because the line of passengers who wanted to travel after 2 years was so long, even going to the outside of the terminal. They must stay in line for 4 hours to check in. 6% of all airlines departing from Europe are intercontinental flights. One of them is Garuda Indonesia, Indonesian flag carrier. Garuda Indonesia is an Indonesian airline that stays at Schiphol Airport, Amsterdam. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, Garuda Indonesia flew 6 times a week to Amsterdam. The chaos in 2022 was worried to repeat in 2023, mainly during the summer holiday that will begin in May. Averagely, the people in Europe plan their vacation long before the day. Garuda Indonesia hope to also share some shares of summer vacations in the Netherlands and Europe. The chances are big enough considering the Netherlands is an Indonesian diaspora's hotspot. Some 3 million people in the Netherlands directly and indirectly have relation with Indonesia. However, it is not without challenges. The vendors at Schiphol Amsterdam, starting from land transport, hygiene, and security, were increasing their rate. The inflation rate in the Netherlands is high and surpassing double digits. The airline business is complex. Hopefully, Garuda Indonesia will be increasingly successful in Netherlands and Europe. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. We begin today in history on February 13, 1946, when the Association of Indonesian Pharmacists was established. 6 months after the proclamation of Indonesian independence, a National Association of Indonesian Pharmacists was established at the Merdeka Hotel in Yogyakarta on February 13, 1946. Its first chairman of the association was Zainal Abidin. Until now, Indonesian Pharmacists Association Day is commemorated every February 13. Move on to the next event about World Radio Day. World Radio Day was first announced on September 29, 2011 by the Executive Council of the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organizations, UNESCO. February 13 was chosen as a World Radio Day because it was on that date that UN Radio was founded in 1946. And today in history with the event on 2014 when Mount Kelud exploded. Mount Kelud on the Kediri-Blitar border East Java erupted on February 13, 2014. The eruption of Mount Kelud, which occurred at night, was even heard as far away as Yogyakarta, according to the analysis of the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency. Ash and sand in a layer of 1,500 meters were carried to the northeast, while at the layer of 5,000 meters was to the northwest and at an altitude of 9,000 meters to the west. As a result of this incident, four people died and hundreds of thousands of people were displaced.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government continues to strive to increase cooperation with Australia, especially in the economic field. Indonesian Ministers of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Minister of Defense Prabowo expressed the commitment during a visit to Canberra to attend the 2+2 meeting with Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong and Australian Defense Minister Richard Marles. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in a virtual press briefing followed from Jakarta last Thursday said Indonesia's commitment to continuing to enhance bilateral cooperation with Australia is very strong. including in the economic field. Indonesia and Australia had previously established economic cooperation called Indonesia-Australia's Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IACEPA, which offers two-way opportunities in trade in goods and services, investment and capacity building of Indonesia's human resources. Retno Marsudi said IACEPA should be a new asset to further enhance relations between the two countries in the economic field. During the meeting, Indonesia explained the government policies to continue the development of downstream industries, one of which is related to the development of the electric car battery industry. As a major producer of nickel, Indonesia saw an opportunity for collaboration with Australia as the main producers of lithium, which is raw material for batteries. The offer to collaborate in the electric car battery industry was actually conveyed by Indonesian President Joko Widodo to Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese at the G20 meeting in Bali last November. Meanwhile, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi also invited Australia to invest in the development of the Indonesian capital city, IKN. Indonesia and Australia are strategic comprehensive partners who both adhere to democracy, respect for human rights and international law. In addition to economic cooperation, Indonesia and Australia are also committed to establishing cooperation in cybersecurity and handling digital disinformation.
Voice of Indonesia.
Berawal dari tatap, indah senyummu memikat, memikat hatiku yang hampa lara. Senyum membawa tawa, tawa membawa cerita, cerita kasih indah tentang kita. Terkadang ku ragu, kadang tak percaya, tapi ku yakin kau milikku. Kau membuatku bahagia di saat hati ini terluka. Kau membuatku tertawa di saat hati ini terbawa, terbawa oleh cintamu untukku, untuk kita. Kadang ku ragu, kadang tak percaya, tapi ku yakin kau milikku. Kau membuatku bahagia di saat hati ini terluka. Terbawa oleh cintamu untukku, untuk kita.
Thank you.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. VOI listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I'm going to take you to Immanuel Church, one of the historical heritages in Maluku. This church is an old one located at Hila Village in Salahutu Leihutu District, Central Maluku Regency, and has a distance around 42 kilometers from Ambon City. The church was built in 1659, and it is the oldest church in Maluku Province. Immanuel Church looks very simple. Its wall is made from wood painted in white color and has thatched roof and bell pole which is decorated its yard. The design in its building is also very simple, with a pulpit facing two rows of chairs lined up behind and a small room for the priest. The church was damaged due to the civil war which occurred in Maluku Province in 1999. The church was rebuilt with similar architecture and shape after the war ended. To visit Immanuel Church is free of charge, but you must fill a guest book and an offering box as a form of solidarity to assist maintenance of the church. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Sinaran hangat mentari sore ini, aku berdiam diri. Derasnya kehidupan, letih persahabatan, sejenak hilang pergi jauh dalam sang waktu membawa ku ke hari pertama saat mimpi menghampiri masih terasa. seperti
from Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is about stay at the hotel. So stay tuned. We are going to present you a conversation entitled Nomor Kamar, Nomor Kamar, which means room number. This conversation happens between Dev Singh, a tourist from India, and a hotel receptionist. The receptionist gave a room key card to Dev while mentioning the room number. Let's listen to the conversation.
Ini kuncinya, nomor kamar Anda 1209.
Kamar saya di lantai 12 ya?
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of today. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Kamar Anda, which means your room. 1209, which means 1209. Nomor kamar Anda, 1209. Nomor kamar Anda 1209, which means your room number is 1209. Di lantai 12, which means on the 12th floor. Kosong, which means zero. 021-345-0607. 021-345-0607, which means 0213-450607. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, Nomor kamar Anda 1209. Nomor kamar Anda 1209, which means your room number is 1209. In the expressions, there are numbers 1209, which means 1209 consisting of 12, which means 12 as the room code, and 09, which means 09 as the room number on that floor. A number can also state a level or floor. In the conversation, you hear the question, kamar saya di lantai 12 ya? Kamar saya di lantai 12 ya? Which means, my room is on the 12th floor, isn't it? In the formal context of Indonesian language, the number is pronounced as nol, nol, which means zero. But in conversation about numbers such as room number or phone number, the number is often pronounced as kosong, kosong, which means zero or O. For example, nomor kamar 1209, nomor kamar 1209, which means room number 1209 or phone number 0213-450-607, 0213-450-607, which means 0213-450-607. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Ini kuncinya, nomor kamar Anda 1209.
Kamar saya di lantai 12 ya?
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Kembali dalam satu masa yang takkan pernah terganti, janji suci yang dulu pernah terucap masih tersimpan dalam hatiku. Mengisi ruang di hatiku. Oh, salahkah bila ku di sini selalu menunggu datangnya dirimu? Mengisi ruang di hatiku. Oh, oh, salahkah bila ku di sini selalu menunggu, selalu berharap. Oh,
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. The next segment is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, today's Music Corner, I'm going to present to you a kerancang song entitled Tinggi Gunung Seribu Janji, sung by Hetikus Endang. Tinggi Gunung Seribu Janji is one of Ismail Marzuki's works, which was popularized by Bob Tutupoli. This song has a classic ballad typical of Ismail Marzuki's narrative style. The song, which was released in 1991, narrates someone's sacred promise to always be loyal to his lover, wherever and however long he goes. Well, listener, here is Hetikus Endang with keroncong song entitled Tinggi Gunung Seribu Janji.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Berdiri ku memutar waktu teringat kamu yang dulu ada di sampingku setiap hari jadi sandaran saat ku lemah, saat ku lelah. Oh, tapi ku terima semua keputusan yang telah kau.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indahnya awal kita bertatap mata, ku menyapamu di seberang sana. Gundah gelisah seakan terlupa, tawa candamu mengalihkan semua getaran ini terasa nyata. Apakah kau juga merasa kau dan aku bersama mencari arti dunia? Yang terindah yang membuatku bahagia, kau dan aku bersama mencari arti dunia. Kau yang terindah yang membuatku bahagia. Tingkahku yang terkadang kau tangisi, jangan kau pendam di dalam hati. Maaf semua takkan ku ulang lagi, indah rasanya senyummu kembali. Getaran ini terasa nyata. Oh, apakah kau juga merasa dan aku bersama mencari arti dunia? Kau yang terindah yang membuatku bahagia, kau dan aku bersama mencari arti dunia. Kau yang terindah yang membuatku bahagia. Ku ingin
bertatap mata. Percayalah diriku akan setia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Programs on the English program from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any comments, suggestion, criticism, any feedback for Voice of Indonesia, just drop us a line through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at VOI _official. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok at VOI _official and YouTube channel VOI Official. I'm Rahma signing out. I'll see you in the next interesting edition of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.